Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail, and today we have a special guest, which you already know because you saw the episode title, and we are in what may eventually become a proper podcast studio. I'm here with lifelong friend. We've been friends since like seventh grade, which is over 30 years ago now, which is kind of crazy. I'm here with Richard Valla. Rich, say hi.
Hey everybody, how you doing today?
And the reason that Rich is here is because he has been my campaign advisor. And he's also kind of the person that I bounce ideas off of. And he's been a big supporter of my growing role in the union. And Rich is not in the NALC. He is not a letter carrier, but he is in a union. What union are you in?
I am in the PPA, which is the Police Protective Association.
Look at that. He's a cop, so don't fuck with him. That's don't right. fuck with me. Or you're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
So take that. Yeah. So so we are in the room that is Rich's jujitsu practice room. We call it the roll room.
Yeah, it's a roll room.
The roll room. There you go, the roll room. And it's a little echoey in here right now because it's just plywood, but maybe we'll get some curtains in here or something and turn this into an actual podcast studio because Rich and I have another podcast. So you guys know about Classes of Mail, obviously. You probably know about the Postal Stand-Up, which is my second Postal Stand-Up. But then Rich and I are nerds who play this college football video game, EA Sports College Football 25, which is the best-selling football video game of all time, the best-selling game of 2024, and the second best-selling sports video game of all time. And so we have a podcast that we do that is, it's safe to call it irreverent. If you have delicate ears, you're not going to want to listen to it, but it is a ton of fun, and we've been having a great time with it. Rich, what is the name of our podcast?
Balls Deep.
Balls Deep. Yeah, well, let's say that it's a sports reference of like throwing the ball deep or something like that. But if you guys want to give that a listen, it is definitely fun. We have guests on there as well. And it is a totally different side of me. But that's not why Rich is here today. Rich is here today just, I talk about that because there's an opportunity. But Rich is here to talk about the shit that's been going on in our local union. And, you know, I always give that disclaimer. Well, I don't give the disclaimer. It's written in the podcast description that I don't speak for the Postal Service. I don't speak for the union. My thoughts are inherently my own as well as my guests. And that goes double for Rich because I don't know what kind of crazy shit he's going to say today.
I can keep it professional.
Okay. Well, yeah, there you go. So, but I know he's as upset about what's been going on in our branch as anybody. And that's saying something because he's not even in the branch. He is outside the branch. So, Rich, why don't you introduce yourself and maybe give a little taste of what you want people to know?
So, you know, when Alan decided he was going to start running for positions in the union, first and foremost, as a steward at his own station,
right?
You know, he talked to me about it, and I was well aware of some of the backstory of things that were happening either at the station or in the union as a whole. And, you know, he would just call me, you know, what would you do kind of thing.
Like when I got fired from the carrier cabinet.
Yeah, exactly. That was probably when we really started to get into your side of what goes on at your union and your job beyond just delivering mail.
Right.
And, you know, there was a lot of problems with how you were treated there. And it upset me because, A, you're my friend.
Yeah.
And B, I mean, it was just so clearly wrong. And so that really upset me. And I kind of tried to help Alan get up the will to fight.
Yeah, Rich has this same sort of sense of justice that I have. I mean, that's probably part of why he became a cop. You know, that and hitting people with batons.
No, I don't do that. I just like to drive fast. I like to carry a gun.
Yeah, there you go.
And every once in a while, I like to yell at people and put a, you know, tell them that you're not allowed to steal.
Dude, you have a jiu-jitsu practice room at your house for a reason.
Yeah, it comes in handy.
It does. So anyway, but we both have this sense of justice and fairness. And so, yeah, when I got fired from the Carrier Academy, Rich was right there being pissed off with me. And like, dude, this is obviously not okay. This is not right. You've been done wrong. And he helped me to have the will to fight. Because by nature, I am non-confrontational.
And by nature, I am.
Yeah, and Rich is confrontational. And so he helps me in that way. Because like, dude, I'll give you an example as fresh as today's headlines. So I am appealing. Let me give you a quick election update. My appeal that went to the election committee was upheld. They got a couple of different appeals, and they went with my appeal and my resolution, which was to rerun the entire election all the way back to nominations. Well, there are 5 days to appeal that decision, and I think on a previous podcast, we thought that 5 days had expired, but somebody got an appeal in to appeal the election committee's decision, and that appeal was made by the local union president, who is one of the candidates. I mean, he has every right to appeal as much as everybody else, but that appeal goes to the executive board. Who's in charge of the executive board?
I'm pretty sure the president is.
Yeah, the president is in charge of that board. And so in a way, he's appealing to himself.
Well, plus not to mention the influence that he holds.
Right, of course.
That is, I mean, there's a bias, a clear bias.
Oh, without question. And the people who are on the executive board are just going to rule however he says. They're going to do whatever he says.
Well, especially if, let's say he were to lose the election, would some of those members of the executive board also lose their positions?
Everybody runs independently, but people tend to vote on a ticket.
Sure. So he may be connected on a ticket with other members of the people holding votes.
Yes.
To essentially keep their jobs.
That is exactly right. Yeah. And one of the reasons, this is speculation, because the executive board has not released the rationale for their decision yet. But to cut to the end, it will not shock you to learn that they voted to sustain the president's appeal, and they also want the election rerun, but not the nominations. And so what that means is that anybody who got elected by acclamation, where they were in a race where there was no competitor, then they keep that position, and we don't get new nominees. And yes, a couple of people on the executive board benefit from that.
Sure. So yeah, they're voting in your own interest.
Right.
But yeah, there needs to be a system that doesn't necessarily, lean into doing those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, and that's what the election committee was for in the first place. And the election committee ruled 6 votes for my proposal and 1 vote to redo the whole thing, but not nominations. So that was pretty one-sided.
Yeah.
And everybody agreed that the election needed to be rerun. And there doesn't seem to be any disagreement about that. But yeah, this whole nomination thing, we're talking about being confrontational here. So now we have to appeal the executive board's decision, and we appeal that to the branch as a whole. And that will be, we're recording this on Monday, December 2nd.
Yes, it is the 2nd.
And our branch meeting is December 4th, Wednesday. So it's coming right up. So I had to get my appeal in really quick so that it could get in front of the branch. And honestly, the executive board hasn't even announced their decision yet. So I don't even know if my appeal is proper, because they're supposed to, like, this has been a problem in our branch all the way through. There's no communication channel.
Sure.
It is the futuristic year 2024. We have a website.
Yeah.
Dude, the website is a goddamn embarrassment. When you go onto that website,
is it done in crayon?
Dude, it looks like a GeoCities website. You're old. Rich is as old as I am. We're both pushing 50. So we remember the early days of the internet when there was like GeoCities and the other pages like that. And that's what our website looks like. It's a goddamn embarrassment. So you go onto one of the pages, some of the pages, and music starts playing. It starts playing like classical music, and you can't turn it off. It just plays the whole time you're on the site. And dude, I was looking at the site on my phone just this morning, because I had to get make sure I had the right address for the union hall. So I pull up the site, I go to contact us, and on the contact page, there's still our president who died in January.
Yeah.
Still on there as the president. We have people in positions that they held 7 years ago listed on the contact page. Half the links are broken. And it plays this goddamn music. And so I get the information I need and I close the phone, and the music is still playing.
Oh, man. That's pretty bad.
Dude, it's off. But the moral of the story is we have this. We have a website. We have email. But we don't have an email list to get the message out to the members. And so when it was discovered, one of my contacts on the election committee saw that there was going to be this appeal to the election board. And he asked the president, oh, hey, well, when you guys make your decision, how are you going to inform the branch? And the president goes,
we're not.
Yeah, well, basically, he says, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking basic, you know, to be able to do shit like that. So anyway, but when the branch, when the executive board made their decision, I got word through the rumor mill, like it's had to happen every step of the way,
yeah,
that they made their decision. And so I filed my appeal. And this is confrontation. This is something that I am not comfortable with. And now I'm going to have to stand up in front of the branch and argue that position. Luckily, I am comfortable public speaking.
Can I do it as your representative?
Dude, it's so tempting.
Yeah.
It is very tempting. Special guests are allowed who aren't in the branch by approval. Guess who has to approve it?
Oh, I would guess the president.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'd probably sound like my cousin Vinny, you know, when I went up there. So.
Yeah, so I don't know that he would approve, but I think I'm prepared to make my own argument.
Yeah, I also make good eye contact, so I'd stare him down.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I have to go to my station early in the morning to, today's my scheduled day off. I go in there to mail off the certified letter that I have to mail for the appeal. And as I'm walking out, I finish mailing this off. It's going to go to the branch the next morning. They're going to have to sign for it or the next afternoon. And then I see the president and the vice president in the station. And there is a big part of me that wants to go and have a confrontation there. Because it's not just the election stuff that's been shenanigans. It's also the fact that I am still an alternate steward.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that is something that we need to talk about because it really does kind of speak to the larger picture that's going on here of things that we've talked about. So I'm sure most of you know Alan did apply to be a steward, but that application has basically just sat in the void and it's been ignored because the president, even if Alan wouldn't say it himself, has a personal issue with Alan. And this has really came to light back when he was fired from the academy, from the Carrier Academy.
Yep.
There was a big, long, let's call it what it is, kind of a legal battle to get Alan reinstated because he was wrongfully terminated from that position, all because he wanted to train the carriers as best he could. And that sounded like work to other people, and they just weren't interested. And so Alan's rocking the boat, so to speak. And hey, you know, these trainees are missing out on all these things.
Right.
And brought it to the attention of, I guess, the executive board or whoever.
At first I brought it to the attention
of your direct supervisor.
My direct supervisor at the academy.
And so that direct supervisor, I can't remember his name, but it's irrelevant. At first kind of seemed on board, but then when it included him having to do work, he suddenly got off that boat. And then he quickly got rid of Alan.
Found a pretext.
Yeah, which wasn't even true and actually has something to do with this podcast itself.
It does. It's the very podcast we're talking about. Yeah. It's the pretext. If you haven't heard about that whole story about me getting fired, go back and listen to the episodes, how I got fired from the Carrier Academy. And then I know what Rich is about to talk about next, which is how I got fired from the Carrier Academy again.
Yeah. So Alan goes through this big, long process. There's all kinds of people, including like the business agent.
Yep.
And then it went all the way up to like national.
Yeah. The national vice president or the director of city delivery.
And of course, when they looked at it, they're like, this guy didn't do anything wrong. Give him his job back.
Right.
Right. So he gets his job back. And I don't know. Did you teach for a day even?
I got scheduled to teach. So at first there were some scheduling conflicts and I finally got scheduled to teach.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I was ready. I was going to go in and teach. And so I got told, and this has gone over in that how I got fired again, but I got told by my local union president, the guy who's supposed to be on the side of the carriers, that, hey, when you go back in there, you better keep your head down and don't.
I mean, it was a threat. It was thinly veiled, but it was a threat.
You know, to give the benefit of the doubt, maybe he thought it was friendly advice that that's the way I should behave if I don't want to get fired again.
No, not when you look back at it through the lens of everything
of how
that's
it's
happened
gone.
Since.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Is that this was a threat, even if Alan didn't realize it at the time. I mean, I remember you calling me about it.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. And I was like, why would he even say that? Well, it's because there was egg on his face, right? That after all of this, because he didn't back you when you were initially terminated from there, he didn't back you at all.
Right.
And then so when Alan got back, it was kind of, I mean, he even said, you know, the squeaky wheel gets greased.
That is exactly what he said.
He said that
to you.
In that same meeting, I believe, right?
No, that was
like
after
in the parking
lot
or whatever.
After he fired me, I think it was. That
so
in his explanation.
Yeah. So anyway, so then Alan is back out of the academy. But at the time, I know Alan was, he kind of had a burning in him to do more.
Yeah, to do the steward stuff.
To do the steward stuff. And he was, were you already an alternate at that point?
Yes, okay. I've been an alternate for quite some time.
Right, so then Alan...
And I had already put in my application to be a full steward. So we're talking
nine months ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, long time.
And so Alan then, you know, had put in his application. It gets ignored. Now, meanwhile, they have one steward.
Yep.
They're supposed to have two, correct?
Correct.
Plus an alternate.
Yeah, two plus as many alternates as you want.
Right?
Yep.
And so that never happens. And there's no real good explanation for it. It's just no.
Dude, there was one meeting because I was pushy about it. And I know this is one of my personality flaws is that I can be pushy. Not as pushy as Rich is.
No.
But I can be pushy. And so I was being pushy about being made a steward.
Sure.
And at one point at the steward meeting, the president gets up to address the issue. And I'm thinking, oh, dude, maybe because I see it on the agenda. And I'm like, oh, maybe this is the meeting when...
He's going to call my name.
Yeah, he's going to finally make me a steward.
They're
hey, Alan, you've been doing
me.
A good job, and we just want to thank you. No, he said that we're lucky we get to be, paraphrasing, obviously, because it was a long time ago, but the spirit of it was, you guys are lucky we let you even be alternate stewards. Some places make you come down and clean the union hall if you're an alternate steward trying to work your way in. Don't expect it to just be handed to you, and basically, you guys aren't fit to shine my boots.
Wow.
Yeah. That was not what I was expecting. Yeah. And so, no, did not get promoted to steward.
So, and which
still
are not. Yeah.
Still am not.
And so then Alan tells me, he calls me up, he's upset, and he tells me, I'm going to run for one of the bigger positions.
Right.
Which is the vice president position or the executive vice
regular
president?
Regular vice president.
Regular
which
vice
is third.
President. Right.
Yeah. My original plan was just to run for steward.
Sure.
Because fuck it, if they're not going to make me a steward, the people at my station know the score. They will absolutely vote me in a steward.
Okay. And so once Alan decides he's going to do this, of course, my inability to lay off kicks in. And I'm like, well, this is what you have to do. And, you know, Alan is a very good friend, maybe my best friend. And... he's so nice. He's just a nice guy, and he believes in the good in everybody, like the inherent good, that they will do the right thing, and almost to the point where it drives me insane because it's a little naive. It's almost childlike at times. And I'm like, Alan, like, they're not going to give you a fair shake. This guy doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And
dude, I see it like, well, they can read the rules the same as I can.
Yeah,
surely
but they're not
they'll
interested
go by the
rules. In that.
No, they're not.
They have no interest. If they had any interest in doing things the right way, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now.
That's fair.
Right? But the reality is they don't. And pretty much every discrepancy that occurred in this election, Alan talked to me about. So while I may not remember all of them, there's been a laundry list of pretty much at every opportunity where they had to do something correctly, they did it incorrectly, or they just neglected to do it at all. And to me, that doesn't speak as coincidence, not when they're like, oh, for eternity.
And the mistakes that they make are ones that hold down turnout and favor the incumbents.
And so, you know, I push Alan to fight. You know, I'm like, you got to fight like hell to win this thing, because they're going to try to screw you, because why would they give you a fair opportunity to win?
Right. And they've taken every chance they have so far to hold me down, even to the point of, you know, there was that that smear campaign against me that said that I didn't represent a carrier and they were gonna, and that I had been fired as a steward. and I talked about it on the podcast, labeled it as a smear campaign, and then they actually came in, the president and the vice president, to do exactly what was in that smear campaign, to say I didn't represent a carrier and that I was going to get fired.
Yeah.
And they were fucking wrong.
Of course they were wrong, because these people, the president and his lackeys, for lack of a better term, are inept. They are woefully inept. So much to the point where if they did not cheat, it is my belief, they would have no chance in this election.
I don't know. I mean,
they have the incumbency bias. And outside of that, they got nothing.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is the things they did that were inappropriate capitalize on that incumbency bias.
Sure.
And that's right. If you really think that you can win outright, why do you take all these additional steps? Unless it's just pure incompetence.
Well,
which it incompetence might
explain one or two issues along the way that are minor. Right. But here's the thing. If it was incompetence and then it was brought to their attention.
Yeah, they should try to fix it.
They would fix it.
Yeah, and they never
did. They make no effort to fix it. In fact, they double down.
Yeah.
And they just keep right on going. So that tells me this has nothing to do with incompetence. This is willful attempts to just cheat.
It's hard for me to argue with that. And so speaking of arguing, to get back to where I had left off is, so I see the president and the vice president at the station, and I had just filed this appeal, and I wanted to talk to them about me not being appointed steward. Because when I brought this to the president's attention now a couple months ago and said, hey, our bylaws require you to fill vacancies. What are you doing to fill this vacancy? And that's when he took the opportunity to insult me and said, when the executive board believes that the person is qualified, the position will be filled.
Yeah, I would imagine somewhere in the union at other stations, there are some stewards that can barely tie their shoes.
Oh, dude. No question.
Not equipped to be fighting for anybody's justice. They could probably not even fight for their own.
Yeah.
And yet you, who are kind of a rules guy will read the rules and the bylaws and make sure that they're followed and understands how to create an argument and argue that, you know, in front of someone, is somehow not qualified. It's a joke.
Right. And so when I wrote back and I said, okay, well, what, and I wrote, cause he passed the buck like a coward.
Sure.
Oh, it's not me. It's the executive board. So I wrote to all the members of the executive board that I could, including him, saying, hey, what qualifications am I missing? And no answer to that. Well,
what are they going to say?
Exactly. That's the point, is he's a fucking liar saying, oh, we don't think you're qualified. Really? In what way am I not qualified? And then he can't answer.
Well, he's not going to answer because he doesn't have to answer. He can just sit there behind the you're not qualified, and he's not required to articulate it or put it anywhere on paper, or even, you know, here's the qualifications and here's you and here's where you don't match up.
And so after this, you know, I responded that, dude, I get that you're insulting me, but also I asked you what you're doing to fill this position. And so the next day, flyers went up at my station for stewards, asking for applicants for steward. So I put in my application for steward. And
that was a second time now.
Yeah, a second time, maybe a third time. Yeah. And that was like months ago now, and they keep on postponing the decision and postponing the decision. Well, last week, the day before Thanksgiving, that's when the decision was finally supposed to happen. It was on the agenda to deal with these applications for steward. Applications that he asked for.
Yeah, but he doesn't really want your application.
Apparently not, because
I would guarantee if literally anyone else applied at your station, suddenly there'd be a steward.
Yeah, dude, and that's what happened previously when I was an alternate and this other dude was an alternate, and I had my application in, he finally applied, and then they chose him.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah, and then the dude stopped coming to work, and then boom, right away we don't have a steward again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
And this surprises nobody.
Dude, and so that gets back to the confrontation this morning, where I really wanted to confront him and say, like, you know, what the fuck? What is it that's preventing you from making me a steward? Do you think that my station is better off without a steward?
I think you should have done it in front of you. I would have heard you.
Yeah, that's true.
And called everybody in the station. Hey, look who's here. The president who doesn't want to appoint a steward. Dude. And then I would have went in on him until he punched me. He would have had to punch me in front of the whole branch or leave.
Right.
Like the coward he is, which that's probably what would have happened. And then I probably would have followed him out to his car, you know, barking at him the whole way. Because honestly, what's he going to do about it?
Yeah, I didn't think about
it. He's already screwed you pretty much every chance he can.
Yeah.
What, he's going to screw you again?
Right.
I mean, dude, sure, that's not on the agenda.
If he takes away my steward responsibilities, now I just have a nice, relaxing Christmas.
Exactly.
You know, all it just hurts the carriers at my station.
Well, and he doesn't care about that.
Apparently not.
No. If he cared about the other members of the union more than he cares about himself, once again, I probably wouldn't be on the podcast today.
Right, because that goes all the way back to the Carrier Academy.
Sure. Because
I was pushing for better for our carriers.
Sure.
And he stood against it.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much at every turn, you're always looking to make things a little bit better at work. And not for yourself. That's the funny thing. Is for the most part, you're saying, hey, I'll go and do more work.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'll do more work to make things better. And their answer is... wait a minute, if you're having to do more work, that means I might have to do more work, and that's going to interrupt my cup of coffee.
I can't speak to that motivation.
I can.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah, right. Look, so, I can tell you how it looks from the outside. Now, granted, I'm not in those meetings, and I'm not sitting down with the president and getting his side of it, but man, the proof's in the pudding.
Right.
This guy, he's not interested in doing things the right way. He just isn't. He's more interested in self-preservation.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And so I didn't have that confrontation. I didn't think about home court advantage.
Yeah. Because... should have mushroom stamped his window or something.
So I just wound up leaving because my plan is at the meeting, in addition to this appeal on the election, I want to bring up in front of the branch that he's not doing his duty in appointing a steward, and that I want to appeal his decision to the branch, which is something that I have the right to do.
Sure.
If the executive board makes a decision that a member doesn't agree with, they can appeal that decision to the branch.
Yeah.
And so that's my plan.
And that's going to happen this Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, like, dude, you know, the same shit that I asked here is, do you think my station is better off without a steward? Because I've had my application in.
I'd love to hear them argue the yes on that.
Yeah,
yes.
That's exactly right.
Tell me how it's better off.
Because he won't respond when I ask him these very straightforward questions in writing. So I put him on the spot in front of the branch.
Sure. And I think that's a good tactic. I think it's time. It's time to get him on record. It's time to put him in front of everyone and have him explain himself.
Right.
And not just give him this out where he can just stonewall.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Ah, dude. So anyway, so we're coming up now to the meeting on Wednesday where presumably our appeals to the for the election will be heard. But dude, the executive board can sit on their decision for 30 days.
Okay.
They have to reply in writing with their decision within 30 days of their taking it up. And that happened on November 27th. Mm-hmm. So they have until like Christmas roughly, to reply. And so if they haven't officially rendered their decision yet, then there will be no discussion of it at this meeting. And dude, like, this is the problem with the lack of communication within the branch, is I don't even know when a decision gets made.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's not like you're entitled to that knowledge necessarily, but it would be nice if they would just say, hey, this, we're going to have a decision by this day.
Yeah, well, this is where me being a rules guy comes into play. Because the appeal to their decision can be made by any aggrieved member.
Mm-hmm.
How would an aggrieved member know that they've even made a decision? How would they know that they've even taken up an appeal? There's no information.
Well, and there's no checks, there's no balances, there's no nothing. There's no safeguards.
That is correct.
Against improper behavior, against poor ethics.
Yeah.
There's nothing. And that,
except
to me,
to bring Article 10 charges against.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, at some point you kind of have to go nuclear here. Like, you cannot just sit there and just let them keep doing this. Look, I, at this point, go out on your shield, man.
Right.
Like, fight that fight. It's it's a good fight where where you are in the right.
Yeah, dude, I have something else we got to talk about.
Go ahead.
I'm saving it for the pod. When I was in high school, this is embarrassing for me to admit. It's not something I'm proud of. This is back in the 90s. I was what a person now would be called an incel.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, you may have known it. You may have noticed it about me, but it wasn't a thing at the time.
Okay.
But now I see the attributes that are thrust upon that, and I have changed since then.
Good for you.
Yeah, otherwise I'd still be single.
Yeah.
So, but it was a long transformation process. But anyway, the incel is upset at women for not realizing how great he is. And, oh, all these women are awful. Like, they don't realize I'm this great catch. When the reality is, not that great of a catch.
Sure, you know? Okay.
And even if you are a great catch, you still have to put yourself out there.
Absolutely.
And I didn't go on any dates when I was in high school. And maybe I went on one date. The number of times I got turned down for a date is also either zero or very close to zero, because I never asked.
Uh-huh.
And I just waited for the magic to happen. And then when it didn't happen, I was upset about it.
Sure.
And I worry that, and eventually I got over it and I became Captain Gregarious.
Yeah.
Eventually, thanks to my good friend alcohol.
Yes.
That straightened me out and opened me up a little bit. And eventually I had to stop drinking, but still gregarious. So anyway, I worry that I'm that same way as a candidate.
I think to some extent you might be.
Where I'm not really comfortable like going up to people, like, hey, you should totally vote for me. I'm going to do a great job.
Yeah, this is definitely something that I get on you about other things.
Exactly.
You don't want to just go out there and kind of like do that hand-to-hand, face-to-face promoting yourself when you should be.
Yeah.
At every opportunity, because at least in your own station where you have a lot of support, you might not have all of it.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
And
this is, if you're trying to win an election, you kind of
have to be that way.
Yeah, you kind of have to be that way.
Yeah. And so what I want is to just do a really good job and to provide leadership. And then people just see, oh, he does a great job. We should vote for him.
That's not the way the world works.
No, it turns out it's not.
No.
It is not.
No, you have to go around and explain to people why they should vote for you and then ask them to vote for you.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, because like, dude, after the election results, when I really underperformed and it was disappointing, obviously, I started having thoughts in my head. Well, dude, obviously this branch just doesn't want good support. Doesn't want.
No.
And no. And then I realized, oh, wait, no, those are things that an incel would say.
Yeah.
It's not the branch. It's they don't know.
No.
And so you have to tell them.
Absolutely.
Right.
And people are lazy.
They're not going to go seek out, oh, who's the best?
Oh, you know? Yeah, let me go find that. Who's the best guy for this job?
Right.
No, if you don't go to them one-on-one, if necessary, and explain to them why they should vote for you, they're going to vote for whatever name they know.
Right, just the name they recognize.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, and it's always struck me as ludicrous that politicians will put out advertisements that just, like the street signs that just have their name on them.
Yeah.
And that's their ad. But yeah, it turns out.
And name recognition is a big thing. People are lazy.
Dude. Oh, it's awful. So that is, now that I've realized that about, you know, I have a second chance to run a campaign.
Which means I have a second chance to be a manager.
That's right. Because really, if my campaign underperforms, doesn't that really mean my campaign manager underperformed?
I don't know. I think your campaign manager leans on you pretty hard
to
do some of these
too.
Things. Because I understand I'm very cynical.
Right.
Is what it is. I don't have your outlook on the world, partially because of my job.
Sure.
But partially just because I recognize that people aren't as inherently good as you want them to be.
Right.
And so, you need to go out there and push them a little.
All right. There might have been a little cut there because I want Rich to tell one of his cop stories. And we're going to go out on something fun because, dude, his cop stories. Where do you police?
I police in the middle of Las Vegas, what used to be Twain and Swenson, which is now Twain and University Center. It is it's not a nice area of town.
It's not.
It's the most violent, the busiest area, and that's where I've worked pretty much since I graduated field training, almost 8 years ago.
Dude, when I started delivering mail, I was at Strip Station and then at the Paradise Valley Post Office, and that's all right in that same area, 89169.
Yeah, that's not a good okay. Zip code.
Yeah, yeah, dude, it is. You'd think that 69 would be the most desirable zip code.
Either is the 119.
No, yeah, that one's not great either. Or 89109 in a lot of places.
Yeah.
As soon as you get off the strip.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so tell us the story.
Okay, so not too long ago, we get a call. It's a domestic disturbance.
Okay.
Okay, so it's at a complex that we know pretty well, known to be not so nice.
Is it a budget suite?
No, it was not. All right. It's not so cop friendly.
Okay.
And usually when we go in there, we get issues, right? And so we go in there and we make contact, and right away, the male comes to the door, and he doesn't necessarily want to talk to us, but we just kind of tell him, hey, we're not going away. Like, we can't just walk away from this. We need to talk to your wife.
Domestic disturbance, you mean like domestic violence, presumably?
Yeah, but we don't assume that. Okay. It's just we believe that these people are in a domestic relationship.
Okay.
And so we need to go check and make sure everybody's okay. So we get there and the male answers the door. He's not happy to see us. And one of the things that people will say to us right away is, I didn't call you. Which is...
kidding.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who called. Right. But yeah, they'll tell, I didn't call you, and they'll want us to go away.
Right.
So tell them, look, we're not going away. Come to the door. We need to talk to your wife. And so she's not come to the door because she probably doesn't want him to go to jail.
Right. Right.
And she knows if she comes to the door, the jig is up, so to speak.
Okay.
We're going to be in a full investigation here. And so the male come. We tell him to come out to us. We come out to us. We kind of take him around the corner. And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll talk to him without like a presumption of guilt.
Okay.
And we'll say like, hey, you know, we just need to get your side of the story. And right away, I notice that this dude, he's like all over the map.
In what sense? Like physically?
Like both physically, his eyes are just going everywhere.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, this dude's high.
Okay.
Right. I could tell right away from years of training and experience.
High on like a stimulant? Like meth? Or, okay. Yeah.
Like this dude is spagacked out of his mind. Right? He's gone. Right?
Yeah.
And he's trying to talk to us. And right away, you know, things start to go off the rails because people are terrible liars.
Yeah.
Right? And
dude, Rich, yeah. I'm sorry. On our other podcast, he goes by a different name. Anyway,
yeah.
Rich has this, he taught
me
this.
Let's call it a hypothesis.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This life lesson. Yeah. A hypothesis that tests very well.
Yes.
That when people lie, they only have like two or three lies in the chamber.
Max. Yeah. They got maybe two, right? Yeah. Three if they're lucky.
Right.
Yeah. And so we start talking to him. And now my partner is over there making contact with the female.
Okay.
Right. And getting information.
Oh, because once you get the guy away from the door, it makes it easier for her to come to the door.
Exactly. Like, and be honest with us and things like that. And so I don't know exactly what's going on there. I can just kind of see him because where I've had this guy positioned, I can see my partner's foot like outside the door because he's kind of straddling it. And so I know he's talking to her and I just kind of have him in eyesight just so I don't lose eye contact.
Is that a thing that you do to make sure that like...
Sure. We don't want to lose contact with each other because you don't know who else could be in the apartment
and
necessarily.
And if he just disappears, now he's disappeared.
Well, sure. And he could be locked inside with somebody. So, you know. And so anyway, so I'm talking to this guy. And this guy right away just starts lying. I mean, he's already mad because he didn't call.
Right.
And so I ask him, I'm like, hey, man, when's the last time you smoked?
Uh-huh.
And he knows... What I mean.
You mean meth.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And he says, oh, I don't smoke. I'm like, dude. I'm like, your eyes and your teeth, because he's got meth teeth, and his skin all say you smoke. Like, I'm looking at you, dude, you smoke.
Right.
I'm like, how long ago did you do it?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How long were you a cop, at, like, on the beat, before you could spot a meth user, you know, immediately? Like... Is it something you pick up like right away?
Because in my area, they're so prevalent.
Uh-huh.
It didn't take too long, maybe like a year, year and a half before like I could right away recognize it.
Yeah, I remember when we worked at Southern Wine and we would go through the strip hotels and you could develop an eye to recognize prostitutes.
Oh, yeah,
they were
absolutely
sitting at the bar at the hotel and you'd be like, oh, that's a prostitute right there.
Well, now I can do that with meth people.
Yeah, right? Isn't that something?
Yeah, so anyway, so I'm talking to this guy and he's like, I don't use. And I'm like, come on, bro, use. I'm like, when's the last time you used? He's like a month ago. I'm like, okay, so we went from don't use at all to a month ago. I'm like, no, dude, you didn't smoke a month ago. When did you use? He's like a week ago, right?
This is even worse than only two lies chambered, because he only had one lie chambered, and then now he's not even holding that one up.
Yeah, well,
he can't even keep his first lie going.
Yeah, because it's so obvious. I'm come on, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we both know the score here.
Right.
And so anyway, so before too long, because I keep just pushing.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, just be honest with me, man. I'm like, you're not in trouble if you smoke meth. I don't care. I just want to know how long ago you smoked. Uh-huh. Like, now I'm just curious, right? And so eventually he's like, about 20 minutes ago, right? And I'm like, yeah, I think that's probably right. And so I'm start talking to him, everything like that. And then all I'm really doing is buying time for my partner.
Right, to keep talking to the wife.
Keep talking to the wife, right? Without this guy getting too antsy to go back,
right?
Because I can't just let him go back. But I don't really have anything on him yet because I haven't seen the wife. So I'm just kind of buying time.
All right.
And so anyway, so a couple of minutes later, my partner finally comes walking around the corner. And you guys can't see this, but he gives me the sign that is that this guy needs to go to jail. Right. So he gives me like the hook 'em horns is basically what it looks like.
Okay.
You know, hook 'em horns. That means that it's time to put handcuffs on this guy, right? And so
that makes sense because the hooks.
Yeah, because we call them hooks, right? You put your hooks on them, right? So as we're going to put him in handcuffs, right, he decides he doesn't necessarily want to go in handcuffs, but he's not necessarily fighting him. It's more the meth talking, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the meth makes them move all over the place. Like, they can't control their own muscle movements. So I grab him up. And we get the handcuffs on. Thankfully, he doesn't fight or anything like that. And I still haven't seen the female. But my partner, giving me the sign, tells me, we got enough to arrest this guy. So cool. Let's get him arrested. And I say to him, because I was the primary officer. So it's really my job to gather as much information as I can.
Right.
Right. And so I'm like, hey, watch this guy. Let me go take a look at what's going on.
Okay.
So then I go around the corner, and however messed up this guy was, dude, his wife is like so far even more tweaked, right, out that she's super messed out too. And dude, she's got this huge black eye. Like, dude, he slugged her.
Uh-huh.
Right? But she don't want him to go to jail. And, you know, I have to tell her, like, he's going to go to jail, this and that.
Right. It's not up to her anymore.
Yeah, it's no longer up to her. So anyway, so long story short, right? You know, she starts, I ask her, how long ago did you smoke? And you want to know what her answer was?
I don't smoke.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So right away, I just kind of shake my head and start going down that. It's funny good because time. Whether or not they smoked is irrelevant. I'm just curious.
Yeah. So like, I know a lot of times cops will lie to people to try to get them to admit what they're doing or whatever. In this case, like when you say, look, I'm not going to arrest you for using meth.
Well,
that's true.
I can't. Yeah, I can't arrest them. Yeah, I mean,
right. So that part's true.
Yeah, that part's true. I just want to know because it is a factor in what happened because they're both so high.
Yeah, they're out of their minds.
They're out of their minds. And then violence happens.
Right.
And so, yeah. So anyway, eventually she told me they smoked just before we got there.
Yeah.
Which is, guess what? That's when the call was made.
Isn't that something?
And let me tell you something. When I went to the door of this apartment looked every bit like a meth user lived there. It was it looked like a cyclone had just come through their apartment. I mean, there was things wrecked everywhere.
Oh, dude, as a mailman, I see houses like that. And yeah, I always just assume that people are slobs or mental illness, but it could be meth too.
Dude,
yeah.
when apparently once you start smoking meth, you don't care about how clean other things are.
Dude, so meth must be great.
Oh, I say it's probably the greatest thing on earth because people will live in a sewer for it.
Yeah, dude, because you can see, like, let's say you're not using meth yet. You can look around and see the people who are using it and be like, oh, I don't want to wind up like that.
Yeah. No, but they do.
But, dude, apparently they do.
Yeah, once they get a taste of that stuff. Yeah, don't go down that road.
No, don't. Just listeners of
this podcast, because not only will I arrest you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you won't have teeth or good skin or
hair.
What
does it do to people's teeth? Like, how
it
does
rots
that...
their teeth to the point that they just fall apart.
Dude, oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it's gross.
All right, so
yeah, so there you go.
That wraps that up, and so there, I don't know if you'd exactly call that a palate cleanser from the earlier issues, but this is my buddy Rich. We've been friends since junior high school. We also host the Balls Deep podcast. And he is my campaign manager, for better or worse.
Yeah, we're going to win come March or February.
Yeah, whenever the
election
June
or whenever
happens.
This election is. We're going to win this thing.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.